This is a Psalm of David, and if you look at verse 25, David says this. He says, I have been young and now I am old. And I can understand how David feels sometimes. I feel that way. I was young once, and now I've graduated to a different classification. Now I'm in the old group. So getting older there. And one of the things that's really interesting about this is that David now is going to share some information based on his life experiences. Things that he's observed, things that he's witnessed, and things that he would like to pass on to us as well. And I feel like that too as a father to my three boys. There's things that I would like to be able to share to them in order to help them to avoid some of the pitfalls and just things that they can do in order to improve their spiritual life. So the first thing that we're going to look at is in verse 1 of Psalm 37. He says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You know, he says you don't need to fret, you don't need to worry, you don't need to fume, you don't need to be concerned when you watch what happens with evildoers. Sometimes, you know, temptation is such that it is pleasing to us if we were to follow those steps. It has to have some kind of a positive thing or some kind of a good thing out there, or it wouldn't be a temptation. I mean, how many of you are tempted to, you know, go crash your car into something? You know, no, of course not, because there's the bad consequences. Now, on the other hand, if, you know, you might be on a diet and you might be tempted to have another one of those blueberry muffins that are up there, and, you know, and so that would be a real temptation because there's something really appealing out there. And sometimes what happens is we see the wicked and it seems like they're getting over that they're they're walking through the world and they're not going through the same kind of struggles that we do as believers, and maybe not taking some of the ridicule for standing up for Jesus and in public. But you know what, we need to be not envious, but we need to be pitying those that are outside of faith in Christ, because there's going to come the day. We sit here just like we sang, come Lord Jesus, come, because we know what the Bible says is true, and that when Jesus comes, he's going to take us with him, and that we're going to be with him in paradise for eternity. Whereas these other people that are outside of faith, they only have the wrath of God to look forward to. So instead of being envious, we need to look at them with pity. Evil men, instead of being envious, should be viewed with pity because of that coming judgment upon them. Then verse 2 says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. There is an end. There is something coming for them. There is no way for them to escape. You know, there is that season, just like for the grass. It's not going to stay green forever. There comes an end. There comes a time when that green that always seems to represent health and life and vitality, that's going to be gone. And the grass at that point is going to be cut down because it has ceased to be of any value. Verse 3 begins kind of what I like to begin to see some of this basic instruction for the believer. And David has lived many years and observed all of the experiences, and so now he wants to share these things with us. And I want to look at some of these action words in the next few verses. Some of these action words that we need to take a look at. You know, oftentimes we come to faith in the Lord and we're told that there is nothing that we have to do to obtain salvation. And certainly we can't earn that. We can't earn it. It's a free gift. Our salvation is, and even eternal life. It is a free gift. And there's nothing that we do to earn that. But there are things that are naturally, when we become a believer and we have faith, now there's things that we're required to do. Even in the beginning in the garden, God had requirements for Adam and Eve. What did he say? He said, don't eat of a certain tree. Right? He said, don't do that. Okay, so that was your requirement. You know, you're not to partake of that thing. You're to, you know, withhold your appetite from desire, from you know, giving into your desire in order to eat of that thing. So, and then throughout the, you know, the Bible, in Psalm 119, what does it say about the Word of God? That we're to apply ourselves to the Word, we're to listen to the Word, we're to obey the Word, we're to take the Word of God and the revelation of who God is to us, and we're to make this applicable to our lives. So in these next few verses, we see some action words. And what I want to do is, I want to take a look at a few of these. And verse 3 says, trust. Trust in the Lord. And then, what's the next one?
And do good.
And do. Right? So trust. And this is the pattern we have for salvation. It's the first thing we do is what? We believe. By faith, we trust in God. I've trusted in Him for salvation. I put my faith and my trust in Him. And then the next thing that comes along is the do part. Okay, now that I've already trusted in Him, now the natural thing for me to continue to do is to do good. And then it says, and so shalt thou dwell in the land. So we have this direction for us that we are to, first of all, believe God for salvation, and then the natural byproduct of that is that we're going to look into the Word of God, because I want to know what His expectation is of me now. You know, you've given me, you expressed love to me first, and now I want to know, what can I do as your follower, as your servant? You know, a lot of people sit there and go, well, now that I'm a Christian, you know, I've got fire insurance, and you know, the day I die, I can just kind of live my life the way I want until the day, you know, I die, and then I go be with God. But, you know, it just says, Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer, they were asked, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And there's a lot of people that believe in the name of Jesus. There's a lot of people that know all the stories about Jesus. Maybe they were raised in Sunday school and they've got a really good handle on all the stories. They know of Him, but they'll never make Him Lord of their life. They'll never surrender their wills to Him. They'll never be willing to die to them or to Him. And they certainly will, you know, when they read the Scripture about how they need to follow the Lord, you know, they have, you know, issues with that instead of being the one who wants to be the servant. So trust and do good. Trust in the Lord. Put your faith and trust in Him and follow Him. And the benefit, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. All right, the benefit is, you know, you're going to be able to dwell, and in order, you know, take possession of all those things that God wants to give you in this world. He wants to give you, a family. He wants to give you a place to feel at ease in. He wants to give you a livelihood so that you can take care of yourselves, that you might occupy, and that you might grow. So He's going to give us things so that we can not only occupy in the place that He plants us and certainly serve Him in that place, but also that we would grow in our relationship with Him. And then verse 4, it says, the next action word is what? To delight. Delight thyself. Find your happiness and your fulfillment in the Lord. You know, a lot of us have had experiences where we were seeking in our young days, and certainly maybe David as well, artificial highs, artificial pleasures, things that were really not real. I mean, it's a smokescreen. And a lot of the things that, excuse me, a lot of the things that we looked at And we thought, wow, this is really cool, you know, the drinking and you know, the different maybe chemical things that people have placed in their bodies, thinking, wow, this is really cool. Problem is that it doesn't last, is it? It goes away, right? So the next morning you wake up and the feeling's gone, you know, and then what has to happen? You know, you need to find, I gotta get it back. Well, I got to do the same thing I did the morning, the day before, in order to get that feeling back again. It's not that way with the Lord. With the Lord, it's like He wants to bring you all of the wonderful things. You know, guys, I sometimes live in Galatians 5, in Galatians 5, 6, 16. If you want to, you know, if you just will walk in the Spirit, you know, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Instead, what you get is you get verses 22 and 23. And that's, brothers, that's everything that anybody ever has ever wanted in this world. There's not one person in this world that has not wanted to be loved, really genuinely loved. They have, want to know joy. They want to know happiness. They don't want to be miserable. And they want to know peace. Those are the first three fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, and peace. They don't want to be at war with the world. They don't want to be at war with their neighbor. They don't want to be at war with, you know, the government. Everybody really wants to know love, joy, and peace. And the way you're going to get those things is by walking in the Spirit. King James word walk is lifestyle. That means let your lifestyle be in the Holy Spirit. You get up every morning. Guys, listen. Jesus said, if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come, right? So Jesus went to be where? He says, I have sent to my Father, which is in heaven. So He went to be with His Father. And He says, if I go away, then the Comforter will come, the one who's going to give us comfort. But why do we get comfort? Because now He's going to give us the love and the joy and the peace, and we're going to experience those things. Excuse me, guys. So He's going to give us the love and the joy and the peace, those things we're looking for. So the benefit, it says here, is that He's going to give you the desire of your heart. Well, when I've got my, positionally, when I've got myself set up as the servant of the Most High God, you know, the desire of my heart is going to be to serve my Lord. And because that's where my happiness comes from. And when I'm doing those things, and I know the Bible's true, and it says if I walk in the Spirit, I'm going to have all those things I've been looking for. I'm going to have the love. I'm going to have the joy. I'm going to have the peace. Then, guess what? The desire of my heart is to walk with Him, because that's where all of my happiness truly comes from. And then let's look at verse 5. What's the next one? Commit. Commit. Commit your way. You know, committing is like being all in. You know, we've heard that term before, to be all in. You know, if you're going to really commit yourself, you're not holding anything back. You're putting it all out there. And the question we must ask ourselves is, how committed are we? As a husband, have you committed everything, including your wife, to the Lord? Have you really committed your relationship as a couple to the Lord? As a dad, have you committed your family to the Lord? Have you surrendered, you know, that area? You know, there's different things that if you talk to brothers and sisters that have been walking with the Lord for a long time, oftentimes God calls them to do things where sacrificially, where they're given of themselves in order to go out on the mission field, or they're given of themselves in order to, you know, sacrificially, you know, take money that they could have used to maybe go on a vacation. They said, no, we're not going on a vacation this year. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going on a mission trip to Mexico, and we're going to, you know, take those funds and give it to the church down in Mexico to help them grow. So there's that commitment. You're committing so much of your way, you become, you know, your way becomes God's way. You know, it's not no longer what I want to do, it's what I want God to do in me. The benefit, He says He will bring your way to fulfillment or to completion. You know, and that's really the ultimate end for all of us that follow the Lord is, you know what? My way is, once I surrender it and it becomes God's way, He'll direct my path. He'll take me from point A to point B. He's taken me from the beginning of my commitment to Him and my walk with Him to the very end. And the very end is to be with Him for eternity. So He's going to get me to the very end. And that's the promise that I have from Him, is that, you know, He's going to get me to that the fulfilled end of my way. And the last one, verse 7, says for us to rest. To rest. And what's the next one? Rest in the Lord and wait. Boy, those are two very difficult things sometimes to tell people. When somebody's anxious to see something happen in their life, to sit there and say, well, listen, just take a chill pill, just rest, you know? Rest and wait on the Lord. Just, you know, be at ease. Don't be anxious for anything. You don't have to be anxious. Instead, if you just rest and wait. Well, you know what? You're usually not going to cease fretting, and you're not going to cease being anxious until the time when you're putting your faith in the Lord. And you really believe everything He said, that He will fulfill all of these requirements that He stated in the Word of God concerning you, all those good things that He wants to do. And can you believe Him for that? Can you believe Him today for all of the wonderful things that He wants to do in your life? You know, He's promising you here. He says, listen, if you do this, I'm going to do this. If you trust in the Lord and do good, then I'm going to cause you to dwell, and verily you shall be fed. If you delight yourself in the Lord, I'm going to give you all the desires of your heart. If you will commit your way, I'm going to bring it to pass. See, it's like if you do your part, I've got some really awesome things planned for you. You know, we just had a time of prayer, praying and believing God in His Word for all of the wonderful things that He wants to do in the lives of these guys that all got prayed for. And so we can stand by faith and believe that that's going to happen. That's going to come to fruition. We put our faith and trust in the Lord. Resting and waiting on Him means I'm willing to do it God's way. I'm not going to try to make an effort of it, of myself. I'm not putting my own effort into it. I'm waiting. I'm standing back. I'm going to allow God's Word to be alive and powerful in my life, and for to see the fulfillment of the things that God wants to do in me. And then I want to close with this, guys. Isaiah 40:31. A lot of you know this. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, the whole idea about the running and the walking and all that, again, those are action words, guys. That's what we do as believers. We're moving in that area. But you know what? It doesn't have to drag us down. It doesn't have to be a bummer. It doesn't have to zap us of our energy, our spiritual energy. It doesn't have to have a negative impact on us when we put our faith and our trust in God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads and ask God's blessing on the rest of our day. Father, we just thank You for all that You want to do in our lives. Father, this word is just so powerful because it's just the summation of David reviewing his youth and the mistakes I'm sure he made. And just by the power of the Spirit, he's learned these things. And what a wonderful thing it is when we can commit our way to You, Lord. Commit our days. Yes, we're going to have struggles and stuff, but it doesn't have to rip us off of our peace, our love, or our joy. We can still know the love of God. We can still know the joy there is in following Him, and the peace there comes, a peace that the world can't understand. The world doesn't understand that kind of peace, when we can go through a hard time and yet it doesn't rip us off or rob us or cause us to be fretful or cause us to doubt in any way. Lord, I just want to pray that you would help us as men, Lord, that you would cause us to be the dads, to be the husbands, to be the employees, to be the spiritual leaders in our churches that you want us to be, that we would by faith walk with you all of our days. And Lord, just continue to help us to worship you every day in spirit and in truth, believing you for all the answers from the Scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen.